So I'm going to get that started. All right. So this is the first in our six-part series. I'm going to talk really loudly, so if you can't hear me, yell. And I, oh, good. Another front row. So this study was inspired by when Pastor John Neff was here and talking about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. And that led me to our study in Acts. And then this just seemed like a natural next step out of Acts is to do this spiritual gift study. And the little book we were reading and talked about the essential question, which in Acts is, what should we do? What's next, God? And the handouts are back there for the slides. If you didn't get one, you can take notes if you want. N.T. Wright, his book, After You Believe, Why Christian Character Matters. He says, what we're here for is to become genuine human beings, reflecting the God in whose image we're made, and doing so in worship on the one hand and in mission in its full and large sense on the other, and that we do this by following Jesus. And he makes a point that we are to be engaged in worship and mission. That's one thing, not two separate things. And that our character formation, individually and as a group, is part of that worship and mission. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we're transformed to be like him. So the sermon series for August and September and October is formed, transformed, and conformed. In this theme. And so my prayer has been that we get excited to discover what the Spirit is doing in us and through us, that we become fully formed, fully flourishing citizens in the kingdom of God. So the scripture for this morning, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. So let's pray. Father God, you are the giver of every gift. Help us as we sit at your feet to discern the spiritual gifts you've given each one of us so that we may be willing instruments to do your work in this fellowship and in this world. Amen. So you have those little books. There's some more back there. If we need more, we're gonna have to ask me to order more. Don't worry if you didn't get it completed for today. That's fine. But also, along with that little book is Rediscovering Our Spiritual Gifts by Charles Bryant. I think he's the one that wrote those little books. And each one, a minister using God's gift for ministry, which is more like a Bible study. If you're a Sunday school class or small group, this is another resource. So I'm going to read a little bit from this. The early Christians, when we studied Acts, when we discovered that those early Christians are trying to figure out, what are we doing? What are we doing? You've got the Jews who were coming to faith in Jesus, where they worship one God for generations. And now we've got Jesus as God's Son and the Holy Spirit and the Trinity idea. And they're trying to figure that all out of the Messiah who brought a slightly different message and expectation than what they thought. They were discovering this freedom in Christ rather than all these rules that the rabbis had laid out. And then the Gentiles are coming in. What in the world? And the Gentiles who came from pagan worship are trying to figure all this out. They accepted Christ as their personal savior, but how do we belong in this people of God thing that the Jewish community had? They're working together. How do we do this life together? And how does the Old Testament scripture fit with the Gentiles' belief system? So it really is quite remarkable what the Holy Spirit was doing with these early believers and continues to do today. So in Ephesians 1, 7 through 10, and this is from the Message. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. And he set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. So the Creator creatively recreating creation in partnership with his created people. Pretty astounding, really. The early New Testament church bore witness to this, that this vital, vital experience of God coming down in Jesus, coming down and dwelling in us in spirit, and this gifts, these gifts giving, this direction that the Spirit is giving, this highly visible community. They weren't supposed to just go off and be alone. They were supposed to be in the world sharing this good news. And the Spirit is working to bring all of this together in a new way. So Paul, as he was writing to these believers, he directed his attention to all of the ways the Spirit was at work and in spiritual gifts. So these texts is where we find him talking about spiritual gifts. Paul did it mainly because of their, and I'm quoting Charles Bryant, their ignorance and abuse of the gifts. Interesting. He never made any effort to justify or defend what is called the charismata, Greek. Charisma is singular, is gifts of grace, and charisma is singular, mercy, and charismata and charisma is plural. Gifts of grace, mercy and grace, gifts of grace. He's not justifying or defending them. He's explaining them and telling him, you guys need to settle down. This is the way it works. The gifts, the grace gifts, are for building up the church, the body of Christ, and for mission. That's the same thing. The twofold ball of wax. The church ministers to itself for health and wholeness, and to minister to all people in mission and in service. Any questions so far? It really, every time I study through Acts, I'm just blown away by what the Holy Spirit did and how these two groups of people came together under the Spirit's direction to form the body of Christ and what the Spirit was doing. So four principles, according to Charles Bryant. Uh-oh. Here comes Andy.
You don't have to yell.
That's nice for you, because I didn't have to sing later. So.
That's right.
Which I'm going to keep an eye on clocks.
Because we can hear your voice. There we go. Okay. You don't have to do this for you.
I'll get it. Thank you, Andy.
I have to wait
till she plugs it in.
Terrible.
I always love when taller people hook up microphones and it's pointed at my forehead.
I don't take that into consideration.
This is.
Hopefully, I don't blow
a breaker.
The breaker here.
We have a lot plugged in.
Let's talk.
Let's talk and test this out. More. Okay, now I need to not talk so loudly.
Well,
on a chair.
Okay.
You can hear it through your feet. Okay. Four principles according to Charles Bryant. The gifts are for certs. And I'm going to read a little bit about what he says. They're not for our personal adornment. They're not for us to be popular or for our pride. They enable us to do effective service for the body of Christ, the church, and the world. The biblical word for service is diakonia, D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. And it has to do with agape love, and we're going to talk about that in the sermon. First Peter says, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. So if someone is using a gift for their own pride or their own power or their own visibility, that's wrong. Or if people are arguing about their gifts, that's wrong. It's all for the glory of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, building up of the body. They're not our personal property. They are given to us as a gift to use. We're not to use them as we wish. We are to prayerfully use them. God gives them to us and wants us to trust him and seek his guidance for using those gifts. Another principle, God assigns and empowers the gifts. We can desire certain gifts, but it doesn't mean we'll get them. I remember in high school, it was really at the charismatic movement. If you're familiar, in the 70s, there was this charismatic movement in the church. And I went with my friend to church who was in one of these charismatic churches. And they were telling people how to pray in tongues and handing out little booklets on how to pray in tongues. And there were like 6 steps. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And the 7th one was open your mouth and it will happen. And I get to the 7th step and open my mouth and it dried out. That was not the gift God wanted to give me. I would have loved it, but it was not to be. And to hold, there are certain denominations or teachings that say certain gifts prove your salvation. We don't believe that. We don't hold that truth. God gives the gifts. God decides who gets what. And it's okay to ask, but it's also wonderful to accept and receive what God gives you. In the new state of, sorry about that. Paul is talking about, when he's talking to the believers in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to get to that in a little bit, but he's trying to help them understand this. It's not status. It's not you earning it. It is a gift of God's grace. And you can yearn for his gifts, but do it all in agape love together, building up the body. Number 3. All Christians are included. As soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit invades your life and gives you a gift. And it's often years before you know it. Sometimes it can be right away. But especially, this is why I wanted the junior high and up to be included. They're declaring their faith in Christ, being baptized. They need to know this, to discover this early in their Christian walk. Serving the church. All Christians have spiritual gifts that carry extraordinary powers and responsibilities. And number 4, only God knows the limit to the variety of gifts. So that statement shouldn't confuse us. God makes the choice. Paul's lists that he has are not just exclusive. There are God's creator. He is a God of very, very gifts and wonderful ideas. And if we just limit things to just those 4 texts that we have, we may be missing out. Paul, it's not an exhaustive list. This author says there are 20, count only 20 gifts in those passages that are on your papers. The only limitation on God's gifts comes from our ignorance, our resistance, and our rejection concerning what the Holy Spirit does. Ooh, that pushes it back on us. So the Corinthian church was limiting themselves to certain spectacular or sensational gifts.
such as tongues and miracles, healings and prophecies. And so Paul brings up and mentions other gifts. So that may have been a surprise to them. The Corinthian church seemed to be ignoring or rejecting the quieter gifts. You know, they wanted those prideful ones. And Paul is saying, no, it's all essential. All of these gifts are essential. He mentions qualities of Christian behavior that's not limited to just the leaders. Everyone is responsible for their behavior, and he speaks to all members. So the last point refers back to the book of Ephesians, talking about teaching about gifts. The purpose of the gifts, bringing the church to full maturity in Christ. The use of the gifts determines health and growth, personally and in the church. Bringing the church to full maturity. Paul makes it clear when he uses the analogy of a body. He makes it clear that all of these gifts work together in the body of Christ. We can't afford to neglect certain parts of our body. For instance, heart rate, as we had with Bob on Friday and Saturday. Or ignore certain, this is a smaller thing. There's stuff going on in your body right now at the molecular level. You're sitting still, but you're very busy at the molecular level right now. We can't ignore the health of our bodies, just like in the church. We don't ignore all of the ways the church is functioning. It's all under love. God designs and commissions us, and we are mutually interdependent on each other. The Holy Spirit energizes and directs us as we grow in Christ, and it's all under the standard of agape love. Okay, switching to his other book here. The spiritual gifts are given. The spiritual gifts are given to every believer upon their confession of faith, and then it's up to us to discover it. It's up to us to develop our gifts, and it's up to us to use them. And we do it prayerfully and humbly. Any questions or thoughts so far?
Any? Only Christians are given these gifts.
Only believers are given these gifts. People confuse natural talents and abilities with spiritual gifts. God uses both of those things. God uses our personalities that we're born with, and those are shaped. And God puts those things together. Years ago, I went to a seminar on spiritual gifts. A guy did his PhD work on our personalities and our spiritual gifts. And so to attend, you took the Myers-Briggs personality test, and then your spiritual gifts test, and then he worked to match those. And it was fascinating because, let's say, Who wants to admit they're an introvert?
What?
Okay, introverts. Let's say our introverts say they take their spiritual gift test and they say, and it's, oh, I have the gift of preaching? No way. And here's me, an extrovert, going, woo, preaching, okay. That doesn't matter. God can use that because you can be a small group. You can preach in different ways. God takes our personalities and our spiritual gifts and matches them in beautiful ways. We don't all express our gifts in the same way. Our context, our abilities, our personalities. God is a masterful designer. But spiritual gifts are only for those who confess faith in Jesus Christ. Because why? They're for the glory of God and the kingdom and for the body of Christ. So don't confuse the natural gifts and skills with spiritual gifts. Yes.
If I don't become a Christian, but I'm a good speaker,
mm-hmm.
didn't God give me that?
The ability to speak well?
Yes.
As a natural born ability? Sure. But what's the purpose of that?
Difference between a natural skill and a God-given spiritual skill is the purpose.
It's the purpose and the outcome.
God gives each one of them.
Mm-hmm. The purpose for the spiritual gift of being a public speaker, is to glorify Jesus Christ and build up his people. Now you could, this is where the gift of discernment is helpful. Someone who has the gift of discernment and can say, whoa, wait a minute, that, and I actually have that on my list, the gift of discernment, and to listen to someone who's speaking from the pulpit and going, what? They're really glorifying themselves right now. What in the world is going on? It's a weird gift, let me tell you. It's not one I talk about a lot because it's weird.
Hard to figure out whether it's you or God making that call.
Exactly.
It's hard with all gifts.
Yeah.
Whether it's you or God making
that
call.
Right, exactly.
Humility comes in there really hard.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we need each other. When I'm feeling this way, I need to talk to someone else, maybe with the gift of wisdom, who can help me understand what's being said, what I'm feeling right now. Is this just this bad bit of pizza I had last night that I'm feeling this way? Or is this really the Spirit saying, whoa, somebody needs to speak up right now? So I think it's exciting when we see God matching our natural gifts and our spiritual gifts, but it doesn't always happen that way. The first time I learned about the gift of prophecy that I have, whoa, I don't want that. I mean, they threw prophets in wells and sent them to jail. So that was one where I'm like, oh my word, that is nothing like me. I don't like controversy. And so sometimes we are stretched beyond our natural abilities and desires. So that's why we need each other. We really need each other to help figure all of this out. And prayer, lots and lots of prayer. And the place to use it. That's where young people, when we're tapping people on the shoulders and saying, you know, you really have this gift. And here, right here in the body is where we nurture each other and we nurture our young people in their faith. Anything else? God designs, did I read that already? I didn't. God designs and commissions us for ministry through the gifts. Mutual interdependence undergirds these ministries. I just said that. Especially, why I think it's especially important for young people to learn this is as they're thinking about, what am I doing with my life? What is my desire? What I might maybe go to college, maybe not, but what is God calling me to do with my life? In and through the career path that I choose, because God can do that, especially those gifts of evangelism and outreach. The Holy Spirit energizes and directs these gifts towards wholeness in Jesus Christ. And this vital spiritual fellowship is only possible through an every member participation as members live and serve by the standard of agape love. It really is quite astounding that God would choose to work in us and through us this way. You know, he's God. We're going to do it this way. The whole body comes together to work together. It's really quite astounding. Okay, some points. The gifts are a basic part of the plan of salvation. We're saved by grace and gifted by grace. The purpose of spiritual gifts are for ministry. I'm repeating myself, which is fine. The gifts are not for personal advancement or to feel pride. Practical resources for doing God's work by God's power working in and through us. So someone pointed out to me that the what's the group that works at filling the positions in the church? Nominated. Thank you. This is a great time for us to be talking about this. Where is God calling me and equipping me to serve the church? The gifts are not mysterious or exotic, although I felt that way when I saw prophecy show up on mine. You don't need any prior experience. The results of using our gifts are not ours to own. It's God's work and for God's glory. All the gifts are equal in value, which is what Paul was trying to get across. God uses them all to achieve his purpose. And there are times when you won't know. You won't know what the results are. But you know you've been faithful to use the gift that God gave you. No single gift or set of gifts can be used as a test of Christian achievement or commitment. Like, okay, I did that, 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 and that. I earned a hot tub in my heavenly mansion. No. That was a camp joke. The grosser the job we did at camp, the more we earned in our heavenly mansion. There's no hierarchy of value. We're each a full minister of Christ and a full member of his body. The call to use the gifts is not necessarily dramatic or difficult. Discovering your gifts serves to enhance and grow it in new ways. That is a fun one. That, wow, what does this mean? I have this gift? What does this mean? Now you study the scripture and you pray about it and you maybe talk to other people or you, what can I learn? So one of my gifts is administration. And I learned that I was a stay-at-home mom in my mid-20s, late 20s. Administration, what does that mean? I'm a homemaker. Well, maybe it means I keep a good home. I don't know. And it wasn't until, it was maybe 10 years later when God called me to be the executive director of a camp. I knew nothing about nonprofit business. I knew nothing about being an executive director, but suddenly this gift of administration went whoop. And because I recognized that, oh, that's what that means, I then made sure to take online courses about business administration, especially nonprofit. I made sure to understand how boards work. I made sure to understand how a membership and how to build membership and relationships with churches. I made sure to do the best I could to develop that spiritual gift and use it. And it was absolutely God at work. So our responsibility is, once we discover it, to work to enhance it, to work to be faithful to use it, and to watch God at work. It's pretty exciting. The discovery of our gifts will not always bring immediate happiness or gratification. Sometimes we don't even know what God's calling us to do. Sometimes we don't want what he shows us, and you pray and you wait. So I was in a women's Bible study many years ago, and we were talking about spiritual gifts, and one of the women who was new to the group said, "I have the gift of being a missionary. That's new to me. Oh, my goodness." And she kept coming back after about 4 weeks. She said, "Well, God calls me to be a missionary. I need to divorce my husband so I can go, because he doesn't have the gift of being a missionary. He doesn't want to be a missionary. God wants me to be a missionary. I'm going to divorce him so I can go to another country." And all of us women went, "What are you talking about?" Well, if I have the gift of being a missionary and I don't do it because my husband says no, then I'm being disobedient. And we said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's back up a little bit. Let's back up to what scripture says about marriage, about relationships. What is God saying? How could you use the gift of being a missionary right where you are? It took her a little bit. She was on fire. They had, "How's your marriage?" "Well, it's really good. It's wonderful." You can't do that. What is God calling you to do right where you are? You are a missionary in your neighborhood. You are a missionary in your workplace. So we need each other. How tragic that would have been if she would have went ahead with her plans without just sharing that with the rest of the group. We must pray about this and wait on God and the discernment of our brothers and sisters and what God is calling you to and how to use your gift. Any questions on that? Anything so far? Comments? Yeah.
I think what you're bringing up is very important. That we all have our own meaning of any given word in our head, prophecy or whatever, like being missionary. And I think what I'm learning, what I'm hearing, is that we have to prayerfully try to understand what that term is, what that means for us, like you said, where we are.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And where you are at this time of your life, where you are in your personality, your life experiences, your plans for the future, your relationships. I mean, it's God is so creative, and he doesn't call us and gift us to punish us. It is all a part of his plan. And if we just rush ahead without really sitting with him and with each other, we're missing something important about God's gifts and his grace.
This goes back when you're saying, what was God want? What do I want? It really hit me because I wanted to be a missionary.
Mm.
Almost was. That's another story. But it hit me about 20 years ago when I found out several countries in Europe had sent missionaries to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hit me, there's a whole lot of mission work that we can do here.
Yes. Yeah.
Missionary does not mean to all overseas.
Right. And that's why you go back to the scripture. What is the definition of a missionary? These early Christians, they weren't sent initially, they weren't sent off to wherever. They were right there. And then God would say, hey, over here. I want you to go over here. The Spirit would say, no, not there. Over here. And slowly, slowly things spread. We can be missionaries right where we are. So, yeah, absolutely.
I think sometimes I get the talent messed up with
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just said, you have to go study your gift.
Mm-hmm.
I've always looked at it, if you're given a gift, you have it in you. You just got to let it come out. But you're saying you don't have to let it come out. You got to help bring it out.
You can. Absolutely. Absolutely. To once you're aware of it and it has been affirmed by your faith community, then building it up and helping it, releasing it is our responsibility. But the actual giving of it is not. We haven't done anything to earn that gift. We haven't. God didn't say, well, you know, you are a fantastic dancer. I'm going to give you the gift of music ministry. That might happen, but it might not. So we can't just set down these rules like this little booklet on praying in tongues, right? But I think the cool thing about all of this is the discovery. What is the Spirit doing in my life? What does the Spirit want to do through my life? And letting God have us, which is harder for some than others, to release control. It may enhance a natural gift that you already have. It may be something completely different that you're like, what in the world is that all about? Which I have experienced. I have a couple other stories, but I need to keep moving. The gifts are not limited nor defined by those listed in those scripture. God's gifts are as varied as God's people. That's why in those little books that you have, there's what, 20, how many? I don't know, in the back, there's the list. But even the author of that little book says there could be more because the Holy Spirit is creative. 32, yeah. I can't tell you how many spiritual gift inventories I've taken over the years because I had to for classes or something. And each one had some core ones that were the same, but some of them had some ones like, where'd that come from? So it might be the person who wrote his experience in life or something revealed. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit is creative. The search for your gift and the call of God to use it is valuable. You draw closer to God. As you prayerfully learn about your gift, you'll be able to serve God's people, do God's work on earth in ways that are beyond your expectation or imagination. And it's wonderful to be able to realize that you have worked hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. and you see a result that isn't yours, that was the Holy Spirit at work. It is the most amazing thing. So those little booklets, does anyone not have one? Do we still need to order some? You can also do, if you're a couple and you just want one book, you can do the same book. Just use different colors. We're good on the books? Are there any back there yet? A few?
Looks like there's five or six back
there. Okay. All right. So when you, don't worry if you haven't finished it. Keep working at it. I had someone contacted me this week with a question about it. That's great. That is great. Keep doing that. Don't worry when you're filling those out. Don't worry if there's zeros. Don't worry about that. Don't think you have to. Zero. Oh no. That may just mean you haven't had the opportunity to do something like that. This is what I told the junior hires. I said, you know, you're young. There's going to be things that you're like, I don't know, zero. Don't worry about that. That's fine. Don't be freaked out about, I have to reach like 100%. No, you know, the numbers aren't what matters. We're looking for what rises to the top. So, again, like me with administration where that came up, I thought, oh, this is the weirdest thing ever. So, second point, look for groupings in your numbers. So, for instance, I had in my results, and this has never changed for me, and all the different spiritual gifts inventories, my results haven't changed. But the top three are all within one number of each other. It's a grouping. And then the next four were very close together. It's a grouping. So look for that. What is the combination of these? And I forgot to, I thought I had that, but my weekend was a whole lot different than I expected. So my groupings really indicated a leadership where I thought, like further down in my list, music came up. And one of the things I thought, cool. I was a nurse in a doctor's office, and one of the patients, she and her husband had a music ministry in a prison. And I thought, oh, but yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I talked to her. I said, I sing, I play the piano. And well, she said, well, you can come, but, you know, we have things, rules we have to follow to go. And then something happened that they weren't allowed to go back to the prison anymore. And it was like God saying, that's not what I'm calling you to. I was willing to go do something that I really felt uncomfortable with. I was not very intrigued about going into a prison for music ministry, but I was willing if that's what God called me to do. And it was very much, nope, that's not. Use your gift of ministry when I call you to, but that's not the primary thing I'm calling you to. So looking for those groupings and saying, you know, where in the church do these things, where can I use these gifts? Groupings are important. We'll get to that later. Don't be freaked out over any result like martyrdom or poverty or suffering. I did this with some college students one time, and the one girl, martyrdom. She's 20 years old. Martyrdom comes up, and she freaked out. And so we looked at the scripture about it, and I said, it doesn't mean you're going to die. It means you would be willing. If that's what God calls you to do, you would be willing to go in places where your life would be in danger. There was a young man not too many years ago from the Mennonite church. His name was Michael Sharp, and I can't remember what country he went to. And he and two other people were kidnapped, and I think two of them were killed. He was one of them that was killed. He was willing. He knew he was going into places that were dangerous, and he was willing to do that. That's what martyrdom means. And you know, the gift of poverty? What in the world? The gift of suffering? Who wants to do that? Don't be freaked out by that stuff. That's where you just lean back into the prayer and the scripture and the discernment of the body to say, what does this mean? Point four, where are you already serving God in the church? And this is a really important question. Is it life-giving? Using our spiritual gifts completely and fully is life-giving. One person said, we don't burn out. When we're using our spiritual gifts, we don't burn out, but we might wear out. There's a difference there. I go home on Sundays and I'm exhausted, but I'm not burning. Using our gifts, where are you already doing that? And where is that life-giving? There's stories I read of people who were in, you know, 50s, 60s, did a spiritual gifts test and said, oh, I've been doing that. No wonder I love it. It's a gift of mine. So when we're looking at where are you already serving God in the church, putting that back in God's hands and saying, am I using my spiritual gifts here? We need our natural talents and abilities in the church as well. So school teachers, yep, we need you. I learned very quickly that my spiritual gift was not teaching elementary school, Sunday school. I could do it, yeah, but it burned me out. It was not my gift. Adults? Absolutely not little ones. There. So where are you working in the church? Where do you see God is working through you? So when you're working through your list with your top five results, or if you have groupings, look at the scripture, look at the definition, read the scripture in the back, meditate on that, pray about it, talk about it with another person or in your class, Sunday school or your small groups. Prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what this means, especially if it's a surprise. The Spirit is about surprises. And don't be alarmed if it's, like I said, if it's something like, I don't want that. The whole, tell you another story, looking at the clock. So the gift of prophecy thing, that was something that, well, truth telling. Prophets, yes, thank you. So tell me when the bell's ringing. The Old Testament prophets, they foretold, F-O-R-T-H, told the truth. This is what's going on. This is what you're doing. And God doesn't want you to do that. And they foretold, F-O-R-E, told. If you don't stop, these are the consequences. If you do stop, God will bless you and bring you back. So that helped me understand this whole prophetic thing. So I was in a situation that was painful. It was harming the church I was in. And I was praying for a prophet. Send somebody who can do this. And it was like a, you're the one, said the Spirit. And I went, oh, and burst into tears, sobbing. Oh, and the Spirit did a number inside of me. And I said, all right, but you have to tell me when to speak and what to say. And it was a while before that opportunity presented itself, and I was terrified. The results were that the truth was told, exposed, and processes were put in place to deal with that truth and that reality. Did I experience some persecution? Yes, I did. There were people who did not like what came out of my mouth. And that still is painful. But because it was from God, I could say, it wasn't me. I am really glad that's only happened one time.
But I'll tell you what, when it is God telling you and calling you, and you can just fall back in his grace and in his love and in his wisdom, you see God do amazing things, absolutely amazing things for the kingdom. And how exciting is that? That we work together and we get to partner with God to do these amazing things as a body growing and out in the world in our living. Questions? Comments? Yes. You want me to leave them up here? I did not. I'll leave them up here and you can see them. This one, the rediscovering our spiritual gifts, it's the same cover as the little thing. So it kind of goes along with that. And it's very good. It's very easy to read and would help discover. This is more of a study. It doesn't necessarily follow that. I'll leave those there. Okay, so your homework is to keep working on those. Look for groupings. Look for your scripture, your definitions, and talk about it. Share about it. Say, am I using these gifts in the church right now? So let's pray. We're going to go. Thank you, God, so much for something that is so far beyond our imagination. And that when we step into your grace gifts, we are stepping closer to Jesus. We are allowed to experience the creative energy of our creative God at work in us and through us, sometimes in spite of us. So I ask God that your spirit continues to open our minds to understand all of this, continues to discover what your spirit is doing, especially our young people. To step one little toe closer to Jesus for the glory of your kingdom on earth in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.